Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, this is Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And yes, I'm quite excited here. You know, I love doing these shows. This is part 19. Part 19 of Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages. Yeah, 19. It's wonderful. Yeah, I really encourage everybody to go back in the archives. Yes, Blog Talk Radio, you know, after the three W's, blogtalkradio.com, /emailmalfred. You scroll down to the archive and you'll see my picture there and the title, Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages, and download them all to your hard drive. Yes, this is part 19, and we have a lot more to go after this. So, download them to your hard drive, and you can put them to your iPod, iPad, and burn CDs, have them in your car, share with your friends. Yeah, yeah. Because I see blogs all the time on Facebook about marriages. Brothers and sisters, you know, are perplexed. They don't know what to do to have a nice, happy marriage. You know, they can get married. They can find somebody to marry them. But what do you do afterwards? You say, well, you know, just follow the, you know, if you're religious, follow the scripture. I got to keep remembering I'm talking to more than just Muslims here. So I got to keep remembering to speak in a universal way. You know, might say, well, we belong to the same faith. Just follow the scripture about what a man is supposed to do and what a woman is supposed to do, you know, husband and wife, and we'll be okay. Huh? This sounds simple. Yeah. After all, we go to the, you know, religious services, and we hear the preacher, the imam, priest, or whatever, and they talk about how it's important to be married. So much that you feel that you're a straight-up sinner if you're single, and you have no worth if you're single. So what happens by hearing that kind of doctrine over and over and over, instead of talking about what you need to do to have a happy, healthy marriage, what do? Run out and get married. Look, I did it. Hey, I did it myself. So I did the same thing. And you wind up, you know, having a hard time because you said, well, we both belong to the same faith, but something is not clicking. There's no chemistry. There's no desire to even come home. You know, I mean, you know, you drive around to the light goes off. You don't have any attraction. Nothing's going right. You know, and even though she's a good person, or she might say he's a good person, but there's no connection there. Huh? Doesn't matter if y'all praying together. It doesn't matter. If she's not right for you, or you're not right for her, it's not going to work. So we got to do more than just get married and just cause to follow the scripture. We got to do more than that. There's a whole lot more to that. And I talk about that when I'm talking about it now in this series. And remember, it comes from my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yes, in the multi-purpose manual. Before I get into the topic today of night, we're talking about addictions and recovery and character defects. I'll just walk you through the chapters and the process, okay? First is forgiveness. Forgiveness, very important. I talked about this in my earlier episodes. Then validation. How many of you are validated as a child? How many of you had parents who said, you're a wonderful creation of God, born in excellence, through excellence, by excellence? You have God's spirit in you. You've got God's purpose and passion, you know, in your DNA. You're destined for greatness. Yes, I applaud you for being here, and I thank God for giving me the role of manager while you're in my while you're my son or my daughter right now. Huh? How many of you had parents that actually said that to you? That you're great beyond measure, and you are. You had a mold that belonged to just you. You're born in an excellent mold. That's in scripture too. Excellent mold. Yes. So excellence is a part of your DNA. How many of you had parents who told you that? Well, most of you, like myself, came up in dysfunctional families where the parents were broken themselves. They didn't know how to do those kind of things. So if you didn't get those things, what do? You grow up not having the proper tools for marriage because you never saw in your own household what the healthy mother is supposed to do, what a healthy father is supposed to do, what romance looks like, what love looks like in the household between husband and wife. You never saw those things, so how do you know how to have this in your own marriage? You don't know. So you start making mistakes left and right. You wonder why the other person isn't falling in line with your image of marriage. Remember, I'll say it again. You're mad at your mate for not falling in line, for not measuring up to your created image of marriage. Where'd you get it from in the first place? Huh? You never had a healthy picture, no healthy example. So you make mistakes. Well, that's what I'm trying to do right now. That's what my intention is right now, to give us tools. Now, I have 20 years in the mental health and drug counseling business. I went through 12 steps myself. I dealt drugs, used drugs, I did all that. You know, did all the wrong things out there. Then when I started having withdrawal symptoms, I went right into a 12-step program because I did not want anything to control me. Like my parents, you know, my mother tried to micromanage my life. I couldn't stand that. So when I found out I had an addiction, I hurried up. And went to a program, went to a detox, and got cleared entirely, became a Muslim, and decided to give my life now to serving humanity. Yeah, yeah. I became a drug counselor. I was trained in conflict resolution. I was directed youth and adult programs, a community activist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, for sure. And I wrote this book, Reconnected. It took me 4 years to write based on my past experience and knowledge. And a lot of client, histories, a lot of stories there from clients. Yeah, so for sure. All right, third step, self-esteem. You have to feel good about yourself. Come on, we're suffering from low self-esteem out here. How can you have a happy marriage if you feel bad about yourself? If you feel bad about yourself, you can't give what you need to give to the marriage. You can't give what you don't have. So you got to have that built up. Got to. Next one is called visualization. Visualization. We have to be able to dream. Yes. Now, you might say, well, I have no problem dreaming. It's just in the manifestation. We got to do some serious visualizing. Matter of fact, the next step is called visioning. Visioning. Where you see yourself already there. You see yourself already there in a happy, healthy, joyous marriage. You see yourself there doing well, being productive, making a good income, able to support a family and a wife, you know, doing her part to whatever her passion is. You got to see yourself and live on the other side of the finish line. Yeah, yeah. Feel what it feels like to drive that car that you want. Feel what it feels like to have that CEO position. Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's why you got to be around the right kind of people. Next one is called self-image. Self-image. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You cannot rise any higher than the self-image you impose upon yourself. Yeah, so we gotta realize what we really want and ask ourselves, is our self-image measuring up to that which we say we want? Huh? A lot of times it does not. When you go for positions that are above your self-image, you'll self-sabotage that. Unconsciously get fired, whatever, and drop back down to the image that you created for yourself. That's why it's so important for us to look at this and be what we want to be. Yeah, 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 yeah. If your self-image is healthy for you, alhamdulillah, praise God. It's okay. Enjoy it. Be that. But if you want to step up a little higher, you have to change your self-image. All right, next is communication and listening skills. Communication, listening skills. And you know, this is very important in marriages, very important, absolutely. You know, man, let me back a little bit, back to self-image regarding marriage. If, you know, you have a certain image of what marriage is supposed to be about, you know, and she has one. Make sure your images are matching up. You talk about these things, roles, responsibilities. You talk about these things beforehand. So then when, you know, she slips or you slip, it's okay. The other one reminds them of the image they agreed upon. Okay, got that? Very important. So many times, you know, divorces happen because the other person doesn't measure up to the image the other person created. They never shared it. So how can you expect them to to measure up to, something like that. Yeah. All right, after communication and listening skills, which is so very important, you have to be able to know how to listen. Hear that, brothers? Especially brothers. And sisters, how to communicate so your message gets through. Yeah. Yeah, so very important. So there are tools right there. All right, after that is optimism. Optimism. You got to be positive. So many of us are so negative. You know, because we always talk about the what ifs. Well, what if that happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, if that, hey, God bless you. Already with excellence, he says, he's giving you everything you need to have for the complete fulfillment of your life. So act like it. Act like it. Be optimistic. Believing that the best, the very best, belongs to you and is coming your way. Absolutely. What's after that? Gratitude. Gratitude. We have to be thankful. We have to live in a state of gratitude every single day. When you're married, it's important to compliment that wife and talk about vice versa too, and how you appreciate everything she is doing. Sisters, how you appreciate everything he's doing. You know, a few times I see on Facebook where the wife is complimenting, you know, her husband. It doesn't happen often. I always respond saying, Alhamdulillah, praise God. Thank you, sister, for doing that. I love seeing when a wife is complimenting her husband. Thank you. You know, and vice versa. You know, I don't hardly ever see that at all from the other side. You don't see that. You don't see spouses, you know, showing appreciation for their mate. You don't see that. We got to live in a state of gratitude. Yes, yes, yes. Very, very important. What's after that? Faith. You know, faith. You have to believe in what your five senses are not showing you. It's a reality beyond what you see. Absolutely. We have to have faith. Faith that God, Almighty God, has a reality for us, has a better place for us, has a better job for us, better mate for us, huh? A better place to live. And he's already created for you. Yes. And it's yours. We got to have faith in that. I talk about that quite a bit there. What's after that? Spirituality. You know, and here I talk about us having a connection, a consistent connection with God. And we look at the 99 attributes. Yeah, yeah. And see how much are we reflecting those attributes in our life. Yeah. Yeah. You know? So I talk about that there. And see, I'm telling you, when you and the wife, you know, are very spiritually connected to God, you know, and you're connected to one another, man, you can't break that. You can't break that. You start, you know, finishing one another's sentences, you know, and you know, you could be in a room struggling with something, and she'll know. She'll come in there automatically and say, hey, baby, can I help you? Yeah? She'll have a sense that you need her right then. You see? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see her in the kitchen, you pass by, you automatically, you know, put your, I call it apron, your male apron, on to help out. You see? Without her even asking. Spiritually connected. Absolutely. After that, we have attachments, codependency, and addictions. Attachments, codependency, and addictions. A lot of time marriages have failed because of what? You're carrying attachments from past relationships into the new marriage. Yeah. Yeah. All these attachments you have on. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, and so forth. So, you know, got to watch that. Codependency, if you're an enabler before, you're an enabler now. And addiction, that's obvious. So that's why we have to talk about those things, and I did. You know, this is why this is part 19. We're on the 12 principles of recovery, which is next. 12 principles of recovery. This is also part of a recovery program for those afflicted with drug addictions. Also, but you know, not just for that, for food addictions, any addictions, smoking, you know. But there are principles in the 12 principles of recovery that apply to marriages. We talk a lot about character defects, how that hurts the marriages. And what I talked about before is how we first identify what they are, Ask God to remove them and replace them with the positive counterparts. Yes, we talked about that a lot last week too. Yeah, so that's where we are now. After that is identifying and managing emotions. You know, that's very, very important for marriages. Identifying and managing emotions. You know, understanding why those triggers, why those buttons, you know, get pushed and why we react without, while thinking first. Yeah, that's coming up next. All right, you got that? Okay. One more thing, that you can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go right inside the store. Inside the store, it might be on the shelf, or you can order it there. You can go on their website and get it in the ebook format if you have a Kindle or Nook. Amazon has that. Okay, my website, after the three W's. Three W's. We have cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. One more time, cloudsofabundance.com. That's my website, my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right? All right, alhamdulillah. All right, very good. Now, last we talked about quite a few things here. And we're on the ninth principle, which says we intend to make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so or bring harm to them, ourselves, or others. Okay? That, now, again, like I said before, we look at what fits for us. Every shoe is not going to fit you. Like this book I have, you know. Now, the book is good for everybody because there's something in there that would fit everybody, you know, for sure. You know, but everything in the book doesn't fit for every single body. That's important. That's important for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we talked about how it's important to make direct amends if you messed up. So if you in a marriage, you had a problem, apologize. Don't let ego get in the way. Hey, baby, I'm sorry for that. I didn't mean to that. I'm sorry. I did not intend to hurt you like that. I'm so sorry. Apologize. You know? And have a habitual way of doing that. You know? Apologize. Because you want to make sure and keep that knot tight. Yeah. So don't do anything that will cause a problem, you know, in that relationship. You messed up, then make sure you say you're sorry. See, very, very important. Yeah, for sure. All right? You know? Now, looking at addiction, the spirit of addiction and death is always lurking around, waiting for the opportunity to strike again. So we have to be sensitive to feelings of resistance and rebelliousness, okay? Because a lot of you dealing with addictions, you know, you think it's okay because, you know, you call yourself a functioning addict. You have a lot of wives who have husbands who are functioning addicts. As long as they keep their level up, like heroin, for instance, yeah. There are husbands who have good jobs. They go in the bathroom and get their fix. They're okay. They know their amount to take, and they're smart about that. And so, you know, they do that. They're very important. So a lot of us. So this is not outside of the marriage discussion. You see. So you know, if it fits, there it is. All right. So I'm going to say, at any stage of this transformative process, remember from addiction to being straight, there, those old familiar voices might and probably will call out to you, telling you that, quote, you don't need to go through all this fuss and bother. Those other people won't appreciate what you're doing anyway. You are wasting your time and energy, and besides, it will take a long, long time to change, and you might not like what you're going to become. So, what will you be like? Who will be your friends? Whom can you trust? Where will be your real support out there? End quote. All right, double talking. When you have feelings of resistance, call out for help. For your addicts, call your sponsor, go to a support group meeting, pray and meditate for the right guidance and protection. When those feelings of resistance make themselves known to you, know that those feelings are the subtle voices trying to hold on to you. Mm-hmm. It's also good for adultery, those adulterous voices. Yeah. Resist the energy. Pull and go strongly the other way toward life and freedom. Yeah. For the adulterous, you know, situations, yeah, you know, you see a sister looks good and all, they get the hourglass body, and, you know, those voices start talking to you. So So it pertains to that also. Yeah. Transforming your life is a very conscious activity which takes a strong, consistent effort on your part. Absolutely. If you want to be the best, you got to act like the best. Your language has to change. Your language, you know, shapes you, you know. Your language forms you. So you have to change your self-talk. You must face your fears, or your fears will control you on one level or another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and you gotta keep that in mind. Moving on. Two of those self-inflictions are old. Sometimes you have old self-centered, ego-driven anger and under-par self-worth. We have to recognize what's inside. If we have this, you know, this under-par self-worth working against us, and it does work against you, you have to check that and make changes immediately. Yeah, yeah, get this book. Get some book. Talk to somebody about that. Because it's worth a whole lot more than we think we are. And we have ego-centered lives, and we're worshiping another god. Ego, E-G-O, edging God out. And that's what you do when you have an ego-centered life. You can't go on having a healthy life. You can't have a happy, healthy, harmonious, joyous, fun marriage when you're basing your life and your marriage on your ego. If so, that means that she's got to fall in line with what you say. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm telling you. See, when you don't feel worthy enough to be forgiven, you become your own slave master, beating you down every time you think you are okay. You are your own worst enemy at this stage. You feel you deserve the worst out of life and don't deserve to feel or be happy. Your fear is not knowing what is on the other side. Aha. The other side of your old anger and the other side of your low self-worth. As long as you allow yourself to be controlled by your fears, those fears will continue to rule your life. Whew, I'm telling you. The thoughts of those people are on your mind and are controlling you on one level or another and follow you wherever you go. Those thoughts will dictate what you're going to say if you see those people. They also control how you feel internally by yourself when thoughts of those people surface and make themselves at home in your mind. Yeah, in your mind. By confronting these people first, you are saying to yourself, if I can take care of this hard-to-do matter, then the rest of the folks on my list will be a piece of cake. I can do this. You see, you have now gained a strength that you thought didn't exist for you. Your faith is telling you that God is doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself. So you got to raise our image, raise our self-worth, got to raise all that. Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you, it's very, very important to understand this. You can't have a fun, you know, I'm telling you, a lot of times we see happy marriages, you know, I got the, you know, Cosby Show, which is fantastic, some time ago, and other programs where the husband and wife are doing well. They're happy. They make jokes. They hold hands. They're romantic. You know, they take walks together. You see? And a lot of us say, well, that's only on Hollywood. That doesn't exist. You know, where's the beat down? You know, where's the micromanager and all? Where's all that? Well, see, if we live in dysfunctional situations all the time, yeah, that's what you'll see. That's how you will think because that's all you know. Harmonious, happy, joyous, fun marriages do exist. They do. Yeah. Yeah. So the whole idea is raising the image up that you have of marriage. Personal image up. Raise your marriage image up. Yeah. And start living there. How do you do that? Well, you can watch the college, you watch these programs, and imagine you in those scenes. Find some pioneers. Find some old folks around who are happy and have 40, 50, 60, 70 years of marriage. Believe me, they love to talk about it. Be around them. Feel that energy. feel that happiness, feel that connection they have with one another. And that, excuse me, and as you feel that more, you internalize that and say, yes, 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 I can have this too. Yes, I can have a wife like that. Yes, I can be like that too. I can be in a 50, 70-year-old marriage, you know, depending how old you are. I can have a happy, I can be happy and wonderful, a pal. I can have a pal too. It's possible. But you don't know that while you live in a fog of dysfunction. So you have to get out of that and be around folks who are healthy, happy, wonderful. Yeah. It's very important to understand that, for sure, you know. So that's why it's important, you know. I was talking before about the gratitude chapter. It's important to be grateful, to reflect on all the good given to you. Ask for guidance. Pray for health and wealth and fun. Playtime. Hey, what's wrong with that? Pray for playtime. Yeah. Be open for God's grace, mercy, and transforming energy. Only God can transform. Only God can heal. Be open for that. Don't say, I'm not worth it. That's for other people, not me. My father never had it. My mother never had it. I don't know anybody that had it. So, get out of that. Stop it. The best. Feel it now. Don't say there's a lack out there. Oh, I can't get any husbands out there. You know, there's a, you know, the ratio, I don't know what it is now. It might be 4-1. I don't know. But, oh, look at that. There's no way I can get a husband. Look at all the men folk out there. And, you know, and they're just me. You know, I can't get anybody. You know, so then they settle and say, well, if I could be a good number two, I'll be okay. You know, I'll get Brother Roger over there, and, you know, Brother Jabril. If I can be a good number two, I'll be okay. I can't be a one. I'm not worth that. You know, I can't get a man all by myself. I can't, not for me. I got to share. I could be a number three or four. If I can be a good number four, let me tell you, I used to teach in a pregnant and parenting school some years ago. I had a contract there. Teaching personal growth. Yeah, personal growth skills like I'm talking about right now. And I heard the same conversation with these teenagers and their boyfriends. They're here, they got a couple of kids already before they're 18. They're saying the same thing I hear people who are call themselves religious are talking about. The girl there is saying, well, if I could be a good number three. I know my man has a few girlfriends out there. Boys go do that. So if I could be a good number three, I'd be okay. It's the same conversation. You know? Stop it. There is no lack in the universe. No lack whatsoever. It doesn't matter that you might have sister, you know, Shirley down the street who can't find a man, you know, and all that. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God has somebody special for you. It doesn't matter about these so-called statistics. It doesn't matter about that. God has somebody special for you. When he created the mold for you, he created the mold for your mate also. It doesn't matter. You see? Yeah. Just believe and claim it. All right? Very, very important to understand it. Very important to understand that. You see? So, now back to, you know, those who are addicted, looking at that, we say, when we're using and abusing substances and people, we're not giving God proper attention and time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, I include in this area the lack of self-development and not encouraging others to excel. See, personal development is so important for all of us to engage ourselves in on a daily basis. Self-esteem is built up in this amending process. So you feel good and better about yourselves when you accomplish your goals in general. When we atone, we feel good in the repairing process and reconciling ourselves with God. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's why the title of this series is called Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages. Yeah, you can repair things as long as both of y'all want to repair the marriage. It takes two to tangle, even in the whole repairing process. Yeah, for sure. So it's important to understand that, okay? So the side effects of making amends, you know, to self are finding a better way to live and a better way to love. See, we got, God's given us a limited free will, not unlimited. So we can choose what we're going to allow in our lives. We can choose what kind of lifestyle we're going to have. We can choose that. Yes, we can. See, this reminds me of a time when I was walking alongside the Bay Bridge in Oakland, California. I was kind of walking by the water, and I was absorbed in watching the sailboats. Oh, yeah, the sailboats going by. Yeah. Anytime during the day, you can see sailboats going by with their occupants relaxing and enjoying the sailing experience. Mm-hmm. Now, right above them, you'll see the Bay Bridge with the many cars frantically trying to get to a destination. Stress. You can see it and feel it. So as I notice these two diametrically opposed positions, I ask myself, do I want to be like the sailors or the drivers? The sailors or the drivers? Hmm? You see, there is another way to live life, and those relaxed ones in the boats have somehow figured it out. Yeah. It's really something. And when you make amends into yourself, you know, you got to apologize for things you've done to yourself. You start opening yourself up to the possibilities of life expansion. Since you're now worth the best, feel the best, and see yourself. Yes, see yourself as the best you that there is. You naturally are going to now receive the best. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're going to receive the best. Mm-hmm. You will also receive the best ideas, attracting the best opportunities. Yeah, best opportunities yourself. The best people who will influence you towards your goal, and the best divine inspiration, and of course, the best mates. Yeah, that's important. I understand that. Hope everybody got that. Mm-hmm. All right. Matter of fact, I'm going to quote something for you here. This is a quote from one of the AA groups. Alcoholics Anonymous material here. Okay, here we go. And it says here, the greatest spiritual failure of the active alcoholic is the failure to love and the failure to appreciate. This is the basic task involved in making amends to God, the task of learning how to love, to rid ourselves of resentment and resistance, and to become open to other people. Anything that comes in between us and other people cuts us off from the power greater than ourselves. Power, we know what that is. That's Allah, Almighty God. Yeah. Everybody get that? Very important. All right. So the next principle, you know, is called, number 10, we continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, if you are regulars, you know what I mean. We got emotional things that slip up in our inventory, like jealousy, hatred, resentment. None of those called character defects will add to the marriage. It takes away from the marriage. Yeah, it takes away. So that's why when we have these character defects that slip into our personal inventory, we have to identify them and kick them out, kind of like I have a motion sensor. The moment those things creep in, alarm goes off. Alarm goes off, right? And then we kick them out. That's why, because, you know, life happens, and sometimes, you know, a door's not closed all the way. You know, something can slip in there. So that's why it's important to take personal inventory on a regular basis, make sure nothing slipped in there, you know? Yeah. So we have to submit our will to Almighty God on a daily basis. We know that. Or we tend unconsciously to open the door for those negative voices to enter and start their influencing power. You know, that's why, you know, as Muslims, we pray 5 times a day. You know, and so important, regardless of what faith you have, to have a regular time, you know, that you're praying, a regular time to give yourself to God. Yeah, that's real important. Don't let a day go by without you. You spend time meditating, praying, or something like that. You know, that's real, real, super, super important. All right? All right. Now, because our old patterns of denial can return, it is important to keep on top of our recovery on a daily basis. You know? This 10th principle frees us from the wreckage of our past. You know, those are, say you're abusive, you're known, you know, well, that's your history. You know, if you're a man, you abuse women, you have a history of that. You see? So as you're transforming yourself, you know, knowing that that kind of spirit can come back in if a certain little trigger or button is pushed, you know? Yeah. It's very important. So if you don't stay away, but stay aware of your defects, and that's, you know, resentment and rage is a defect, they can drive you into a corner. It is very useful to take a continuous look at your assets and liabilities, what has worked for you and what has not worked for you. Self-searching must become a regular habit. See, we can't just, I'm telling you, you know, if you're Muslim or a Christian, it doesn't matter. If you're into this new life of light and wisdom, you say I'm now Muslim or whatever, and you think that that's it, you don't have to do anything else. No, you lived a long life in the dark. You have a long history of doing some very ugly things. Do you think by making a declaration or going to a detox? Going to a month of detox or a few months of rehab, do you think that is going to erase all your inclinations of the past? Not. That's why self-searching must become a regular habit. So, this principle, 10th principle, had its start in principle 4 for you regulars. I talked about principle 4. When we made our list of character defects and the associated emotions that led us to the door of our addictions. Some of us felt relieved when we listed those defects and figured that once they were listed, we were done with them. Yeah, like I was just saying, right? Nothing could be further from the truth. Those old emotions that we thought we discarded for good somehow found their way back on the shelf of our mental inventory. So we have to always have our radar working and see, but might be lurking around ready to pounce on us again. We have to know what works for us and what does not work for us. It is our own measuring and assessing process. You got this? It belongs to us and us alone. Oh, yeah. Now, some of us have more tolerance for some things and some of us do not. You know? We are unique souls. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unique souls for sure. And we need a custom design program that fits our configuration exclusively. Yeah. All right. A little sidebar here right now. For those who are listening live online, I just opened the chat line. I forgot to do it earlier. But the chat line should be open here. In fact, it's open right now. So if you're listening live online, you can go under my picture, under email, Alfred's picture there. You'll see a little box. You can type in questions or comments, and I can read them right on the air, okay? And if you're listening on your phone, just hit your number 1, and I'll bring you on, and we can have a live discussion, okay? So the chat room is now open, all right? Wonderful. All right, so the statement that we should all have posted in bold letters in plain sight is, quote, what works for me and what does not work for me? That's a question you ask yourself on a daily basis. Like today, what is working for me and what is not working for me? You see? Once we do that on a regular basis and be consistent, when those little things, those little character defects creep in, we know they're there and we kick them out. You know? Very important. So whatever works for you is a motivational tool that secures your sobriety, acts like a cheerleader for you as you think and act in accordance with your life program, so the one you accepted, your new life program. It is your bridge over troubled waters. It is your staff and solid rock. Creates your reason to smile the first thing in the morning and the last thing before you sleep. Mm-hmm. Is that light in your life guiding you and helping you in the assistance of others? Is that emotion, feeling, or state of mind that becomes a permanent resident of your mental, emotional, and spiritual body? Yeah, I'll say it again. That question I put on your wall every day. What works for me today and what does not work for me today? Yeah. At the end of the day, do an assessment and see, you know, what you have listed on one side versus the other side. Mm-hmm. We have a do not return sign for all the emotions, feelings, and character defects responsible for our fall from grace. There is no welcome mat for them anymore. Many guests will knock on your door, but we have to be very discretionary as to who gets in and who does not. There will be some knocking every day, let me tell you. Oh, yeah. So we have to be conscious, concerned, and cautious. The three C's there. Mm-hmm. See, we have to be careful when we start achieving levels of success. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, yeah. The spirit of ego-centeredness, pride, and domination over others can come knocking at these times. Oh, yes. There is a tendency to think that all of our accomplishments are due solely to our abilities and talents. We start to accept praise and compliments and say to ourselves, quote, yes, I did make that happen, and yes, I am that good. Praise has the same effects as that cocaine we used to snort and smoke. Anytime we receive a compliment, we are to immediately give it to God. God is the greater. He said, Allahu Akbar. God is the greater one and is the one that properly deserves all good. All good comes from God, and all creative ideas come from God. His goodness came through us and affected others. So we appreciate God for using us for his purpose, and we thank those who gave us those compliments, appreciating their sincerity, but we don't keep those compliments to ourselves. We get intoxicated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, there are three areas that are discussed in AA literature that need addressing. They are thoughts, words, and actions. Again, thoughts, words, and actions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thoughts are energy, just like speaking or physical actions. Everything is energy in one form or another, and all energy transforms from one state to another. Energy cannot remain dormant, even though it might appear motionless, as in a plant, a parked car, or even a rock. Yeah. There's a lot of motion and action beneath and beyond our consciousness, but believe that it is there. Too many times, we think something is not happening just because our eyes don't see anything happening, not realizing that our senses are only supposed to detect what they're created to detect and nothing else. We have to use our ever-expanding mind and faith in the unseen to acknowledge what our physical senses cannot. This fact can be verified by science, as those experts have proven that life exists on levels that the physical senses cannot detect. Whew. Have you ever seen that movie called What the Bleep? What the Bleep is going on? What the Bleep is? Google that. You know, that is a powerful movie. You know, quantum physics, they talk about that. They can talk about the same thing here also. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's What the Bleep Do We Know. Yeah, that's it, yeah. I recommend that for sure. See, we have to be very careful as to what we give our thoughts to. we are creating a certain transforming energy that is going to motivate us toward our thought projected objectives. Our thought projected objectives. There you go. Tongue twister there. Such as thoughts of intoxication, thoughts of controlling others, thoughts of lying to someone, thoughts of anger and hatred, thoughts of procrastination, thoughts of supposed happiness through drugs and alcohol and the beatdowns we give to other people. Isn't that something? Thoughts of irresponsible behavior, thoughts of general immaturity, thoughts of our drug God, thoughts of our ego-centeredness. Yeah, for sure. Now, adversely, when we think these thoughts, we're also creating energy that motivates toward these objectives. Okay, now, all right, other side. Again, I'll say, when you think these thoughts, I'm about to give you now, we're also creating energy that will motivate you toward these objectives, which are compassion, other charitable deeds, fulfilling our family responsibilities, love toward all that is good, the community's need, our neighbor's health and well-being, guarding the well-being of our children, developing our inborn talents and gifts, producing more than we consume. Oh. Leaving a legacy for those behind to follow and receive benefit. A clean and sober lifestyle committed to a zero tolerance for any substance that can take us off our path of life production. Yeah, hope you heard that one. Man, all right, very good. All right, our thoughts become us. Hear this, please, hear this. Take notes. We become what we think about. We are formed by our dominant thoughts. What we think about, we bring about. Our thoughts are our mirrors. So, do you like what you are creating? That's the question you should ponder. You can look at this idea in reverse. Take a look at what you are producing and ask yourself, do I like what I have done? If not, what thoughts were I thinking before this thing happened? And the opposite is also true. This is wonderful. I made this person happy today and gave them more reasons to live. Wow. What was I thinking before this opportunity presented itself? End quote. When we take the conscious time to notice what we are thinking about, we will become a sharper monitor of our thoughts and quickly redirect thoughts that do not serve us. Now, isn't that important in a marriage? Yeah. When you come home from work, your wife is there or your husband's there. What are you thinking as you pull that car in the driveway or go up the elevator to your condo? Huh? Open that garage, getting in the house. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Are they, oh, man, I'm so glad. Praise God, I'm home. I can't wait to see my husband. Can't wait to see my lovely wife. I missed her all day long. I give her a big hug and kiss when I see her. Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm home. Oh, this is fantastic. Boy, I can smell that ginger from outside. Woo. Yeah. Love that ginger tea. Man, it's wonderful. Are those the thoughts you're thinking or something else? See, words make people. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is known for saying, the organ between the jaws and the organ between the legs make the hell or heaven in this life and the next, end quote. See, we have to be very careful of the words we speak and the manner in which we speak them. Like I said before, our words help form us. Yeah. Yeah. Very important to understand that. Now, those of you remember when I talked about communication and listening skills, I talked about the 93/7 principle of communication. You remember that? Yeah. We're 93%. 93%. Where body language, emotional inflections in the spoken words come into play. The body language and emotional inflections. The person on the receiving end hears more of the presentation of your words versus the actual words themselves. The presentation of your words. So, it is vitally important to really inflect your true meaning and intention into your words as you are speaking, and then you will be heard by the other party more times than not in the way that you actually intended. You hear that? This is also true as you're talking to yourself. Yeah. Yourself, quote unquote, or like air quotes, will know if you are sincere or not when you say that you are committed to a clean and sober, healthy, kind, compassionate lifestyle. Yourself will know if you're being a hypocrite or not. You can't fool yourself, and you will not communicate effectively to others when you are incongruent. It doesn't work. Kids don't like it. Kids be what they see, not what they hear. You should know that already. Yeah, they be what they see, not what they hear. You know? So, that doesn't work. Yourself dislikes, like kids, they dislike incongruency, and your self-esteem will be compromised in this damaging process. You see, when your thoughts and desired conscious thoughts, your intended words flow smoothly as your origin is clean and loving. Some of you might think, you know, being this is installment 19, this is too much. You know, I got to do all this before I get married, if I'm, you know. I say it all depends on what you want. It all depends on what you want. If you want the best possible marriage, best possible marriage, joyous, fun, you don't want a pal, you want a friend, a working partner, a prosperity partner. That's what I call my wife. She's my prosperity partner. Partner for life. We do everything together. Yeah. So it's very important to ask yourself to know what you really want. And if you really want the best possible, I say yes. Get the book Reconnected. Download all these series and study them and internalize these principles into yourself so that you won't have the issues of those character defects, the negative character defects slipping in, becoming a permanent resident within you. Yeah, for sure. Okay, moving on. Quite naturally, our actions are the results of our thoughts and sometimes our words, which follow. You see, we shouldn't do anything that doesn't come from a conscious thought. Human beings were created to be conscious thinking creatures. The word for human is called Homo sapien. Y'all know that? Homo sapien. That's defined as an upright, thinking, intelligent creature. When we're acting in our true human form, our actions are originating from an intelligent thought process. When we are represented to our community, family, and friends, after our transformation process from our dark, drug, alcohol, self-centered, controlling lifestyle to one of giving, life production, and owning all responsibilities, it will be our actions and habitual actions that will convince others that we have indeed crossed over and become a complete new. Yeah. So if you got baggage from the past that you haven't reconciled, do not get married, please. Don't do it. I don't care what the imams or the religious leaders say about how God wants you to be married and make you feel bad, like you're ultimate sinner being single. Hey, this is your life, not their life. Don't do it. Stay single until you get this in order, until you reconcile your life, you know, and forgive those people and follow the principle that I'm laying out here. And then what happens, you attract into your life the mate that matches where you are. You see, yeah, then you'll be a good mate and good match, and you'll have a good time for sure. Yeah, yeah. That's very important to understand that, you see. Yeah. See, our people have heard our words many, 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 many times before, so they are not interested in hearing new words from us anymore. I'm talking about, you know, the addicts and abusers. We need to be known by our actions. Our families need to know that they can depend on our regular actions in providing and helping them in financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical ways. Yeah. Our neighbors need to know that they can depend on our caring actions when they are gone and we are there monitoring their property. How about that? Actions speak volumes, which words and gestures relate. Yeah, actions. And if you missed that communication skills talk, it's go. I don't know which part it is. It's in the earlier parts. Hear that for sure. Hear that, okay? Yeah. Matter of fact, buy the book. Go to my website, cloudsofabundance.com, and just get it already. And then I want you to follow along. Cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Yeah, get it. I'll sign it and put it in the mail to you. Yeah, for sure. All right? We have to know when to focus on our shortcomings as we interact with others and admit that the fault lies with us. If we allow people to push our sensitive emotional buttons and cause us to rant and rave, even though it might not spark us to use again, we are still in the wrong and need to admit it to ourselves. We are wrong by simply becoming indignant, sore-faced, teeth clenching, or having to walk away in rage, or when someone hurts us on one level or another. No matter what the cause, if someone succeeds in driving us off our path of calm, then we still have work to do, and we need to own that reality. Man, I hope you heard that. Yeah. There's another term that we have to address here, and that is justify resentment. Justify resentment. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If someone harms you and there's a valid reason to press charges and demand that justice is rendered, you have to be very careful and not let the spirit of greed, jealousy, revenge, anger, or hatred come in and rest comfortably in your consciousness. The sooner you can release the negative emotions surrounding the incident and the people involved, the sooner you will regain your own sense of serenity and self-control. If you have to have someone arrested for harm inflicted on you, then, hey, call the police and proceed. But don't do it with a vengeful spirit, for if you do that, you are committing a wrong against your higher self and your covenant with God. Did you know that? When you allow the spirit of getting even to operate, you have an essence falling off the wagon of your recovery program. And this goes back to us constantly reviewing what is in our emotional inventory. We need to visit our pantry on a regular basis and see what has slipped in unannounced. Yeah. Yeah. See, we have to live a conscious life, brothers and sisters. A conscious life. Not just go about our day, you know, like a leaf in the wind, wherever the wind takes when we go there, or not have a plan when we get up, not one plan as to how we're going to live that day. Huh? Not one plan. You know, if you ask yourself, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'll just see what happens, you know, get clean, washed up, and check my book, check my account. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. So you don't have a plan. And part of the plan should be in helping somebody else, begging somebody to help you, bringing a smile on someone else's face. Yeah, yeah, that should be part of it. Okay? You know, sometimes we, you know, when we don't feel comfortable in admitting our wrongs, it is because we want to appear to others as one who can conquer anything, be the perfect achiever, always maintain an even disposition, and be the perfect model of success. Yes. You see, this mindset comes from feelings of inferiority and inadequacy. We feel at times that we would be weakened and discredited if people knew us as we really were. The corresponding belief is that if we could appear faultless on the outside, then we really would be without fault, and we could fool ourselves into thinking that nothing is wrong, that somehow we could self-correct ourselves by acting with a mask on. We misinterpret that saying, just fake it until you make it. We take this saying out of context and do more damage to our long-term sobriety and emotional well-being. Quote, and to thine own self be true, end quote. This is the statement to affirm every day. Is everybody getting this? This is so important to understand, man. Yeah, I'm learning myself, even going through this. I wrote it. Praise God. Yeah. So when we find ourselves needing assistance with any part of our recovery program, we have to reach out and talk to someone. Sometimes our inventory gets stacked with items that are very toxic, and we have no conscious idea how it got that way. We go into our pantry to get healthy items, and we find package on top of package full of artificial ingredients. Full of it. Food dyes of all sorts. Depleting sugars and pure toxic waste just waiting to be consumed. Yeah, on a regular basis. Yeah. These are all items that we used to consume on a regular basis, used to find complete satisfaction in the imbibing process, and have memories of the fun times after ingesting those old goodies. Yeah. As soon as we notice our inventory items do not reflect what we proclaim we want in our lives, we need to immediately call someone. Call someone, go to a meeting somewhere fast. Yeah, what do we got to do? You know, seek solace and comfort somewhere. Take immediate action now. If delay, those old voices will start calling your name from those familiar inventory items. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How you doing out there? Having a good time with this? Yeah, this is some great information here. Now, you know, like I said in the beginning, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and scroll down to this series. This is part 19. And right above, you see a little tiny cloud. They changed the format. A little tiny cloud. You can click on that, and that will download this into your download folder. Then from that point, you can change the name, because it'll come out as numbers like show 91443. Then you can just change the name and call it anything you want to call it, and then put into your music folder if you want to, any folder you want to, so you can access it anytime you want to. Yeah, that's how you do it. We need to get this information. You need to hear this over and over again. Yeah, that's why a lot of times when you hear me talk, you hear anybody talk, you might get some of it, but, you know, you don't get the real meat of it. And when you hear it over, that's why I like, you know, playing those tapes and CDs in the car. You know, after a while, maybe after a fifth or sixth or seventh time hearing something, you say, man, I got it now. They're saying this? Wow, that was good. So I encourage everybody to hear these sessions over and over again. Yeah, for sure. That's so very important, you know. Now, the 11th principle, and we'll get through this, maybe halfway through before we end today. It says, we seek through prayer, meditation, and studying God's way to improve our conscious contact with God and to improve our love and respect of God, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives. Yeah. Carry God's will out in our lives. So, this is very important. So, and you know, it's very important marriages, you know. Because I'm telling you, if you don't have keep that connection with God, you're going to lose that marriage. You know, because you'll say, well, I thought you were this kind of person. Now you're not, and vice versa. Yeah. So, this 11th principle, a lot of times we don't know how to ask for God's help, you know. So this 11th principle is the first step that actually tells how to ask for God's help. We have all heard of prayer and meditation, but might not have a correct concept of the useful meaning. Prayer is simply an earnest request to God in an intimate dialogue of gratitude statements. Simply stated, we're talking to God in our own quiet place, space, and language, and asking Him for knowledge of His will and to give us the power to carry that will out. We cannot hear God's answers if we are preoccupied with our own thinking. Yeah. A person used to a life of self-orientation will have a challenging time wrestling with this one if they did not successfully internalize the very first few principles I talked about earlier. Another, you know, my earlier talks here. Dharmas, I should say. As addicts, we gave homage to ourselves, patted ourselves on the back, congratulated ourselves for acquiring our stash without getting caught in the process, and we generally felt good, and our confidence level was raised when we got over on someone, you know, just to get our high on. Well, now we have submitted ourselves to this recovery process that says that we have to pray, meditate, study God's word and way, improve our relationship with Him on a regular basis, and to attain and maintain the motivation to carry out His will through our example. That is a tall order for the addict or the abuser. You know who you are out there. But it can and must be done. How do you start the prayer process? This is very important. Okay, very important. I'm telling you, when a wife has a husband that prays all the time, or a husband has a wife that prays all the time, you got a good mate. You know, I should say, I'm hesitant because they can pray and still not be good for us. But at least if they're in the process of connecting to God, you got a good chance. Okay? So how do you start the prayer process? Well, on the main religious paths, there are ways to formally pray to our Creator. Like, you know, Muslims, we have a prayer rug, and we have our, it's called Salat. But we have to focus on what can be accepted on a universal level, and what can make sense to the average person going through this transition. Okay? Yeah. So, we start by having the proper attitude in the morning as soon as we wake up, before your feet hit the floor. We start by being conscious, thanking God for opening our eyes and bringing life and new possibilities for us in this gift of a brand new day. Isn't that wonderful? We need to reflect on the fact that many people did not get this precious gift today. We start our gratitude demonstration right there, before our feet hit the ground, like I was saying. Oh, yes. The more grateful we are, the more will be given to us to be grateful for again. We thank God for our good senses, our breath of life, and our clear thinking mind. As we see our image in the bathroom mirror, we thank God for giving us this body with all our working parts within. We thank God for the motivation and inspiration to follow the straight path of our righteous behavior and not the one of our past. Mm-hmm. We thank God for giving us new taste buds, liking only that which produces life and clean production. We thank God for the special gifts and talents He has given us to use for His pleasure and to be an instrument of God's purpose for others. Those talents and gifts were given to us to be an example to others as to what God can do and will do for them also. What we are given, we are to share and direct that energy toward the well-being of others. Did you know that? That's so very important. Reflection on God. Yeah. Reflection on God throughout the day is also very important. Since the mind cannot concentrate on more than one thing at a time, especially brothers out there, when we are filling our mental space with God's will for us, His way and word as reflected in various scriptures and in observance of His creation on earth and in the skies, we won't have any room for the harmful thinking of our past. During our day's activities, there will be many times when we will be faced with making decisions that won't be easy. If we are in the habit of turning to God, asking for guidance, direction, and inspiration to make the best and healthiest decisions, aligning our spirit with His spirit, we will be in the best position to receive regular assistance. Just as when we work out physically and build up our muscles, we have to build up our receiving muscles as well. This also is true of our thinking muscles and our emotional muscles. The more we exercise these other muscles, the more fit we will be to receive more. If we have never benched, if we have never bench pressed 300 pounds, and as we lay down on the bench, our spotter placed that 300 pounds on us, disaster will follow. Train in the gym and progress from lifting 100 pounds, gradually getting to 200 pounds, 250, then 300 pounds. We will be ready to handle the extra weight. Why? Because we properly prepared ourselves and proved ourselves worthy enough to handle more weight. Since our body underwent the change necessary to handle the additional weight, God then gives us more to bear. And this goes back to the scripture where it says, God will only give you what you have the strength to bear. So, as we turn to God on a regular basis and open ourselves up to any possibility that God has for us, allowing ourselves to be filled up completely with His Spirit, God will give us more of what we need and what our soul has been crying out for. Whew, it's important. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So many people are listening right now on their phone. If you want to ask a question or give a comment, be a part of this discussion, just push number one on the telephone pad, and I'll bring you right in. Okay? It's always good to have a talk, you know? Yeah, for sure. Most times people don't do that. That's okay, you know, just get the information, and it's all right. It's all right. It's all good. Okay. Yeah. So I hope everybody got that, you know, and it's so important to understand this process. See, before you get married, you got to have, you know, your emotions in check. You got to be emotionally balanced, you know, because she's going to do something that's going to make you upset, and the vice versa. Sister, he's going to do something to make you upset, you see? And so, you know, the buttons will be pushed, and really talking about a lot of times old issues that never got resolved. And many times we get married to fulfill those old issues, to fill that void that we had from childhood. Yeah, that's right. So that's why it's important to understand this process. Yeah, emotional balance is another benefit of regularly turning to and praying to God. Yeah, you can balance your emotions out by praying and connecting to God on a regular basis. See, our imbalance comes from our negligence of God's way for us. God wants us to think a different way. God wants us to think a certain way with ourselves and with others. God wants us to interact and communicate in a certain manner. God wants us to listen and receive in the right fashion. You see, when we operate with a certain mindset that is not in concert with God's way for us, then emotional imbalance comes in and a level of dis-ease follows. Remember that it is His will and not our will that shall be done in our lives. This declaration should always be a part of our prayers. Yeah. Here's another prayer we can all use. You know, you Muslims, you understand this already. Almighty God, most gracious, most merciful, yeah, Lord of all the worlds, all praises are due to you, O God, the Lord of all the worlds we see, the worlds we cannot presently see. It is you alone that we worship, not our egos, not our selfish interests, not our wishes and fantasies for other people, not our desires and passions, not our traditions, families, relationships, and customs. Show us the straight way. Where those who have connected themselves to you and thus earn your favor, and not those who have disconnected from you and gone astray. Yeah, that's a good prayer anybody can use, regardless of what faith label you have on yourself. You see? Now, meditation. Now, meditation. Yeah. It's an excellent way to reboot yourself, you know, with a blank slate for the day. You know, actually, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to probably take a little pause right there. Yeah, I think I'll take a little pause right there. And I'll start with meditation next week, because meditation is pretty, it might be lengthy for the time we have today. And I don't want to, you know, stop right in the middle of a nice area like this. So we're going to start with meditation next week on part 20. Yeah, part 20 of improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, I'm Nazim Abdul Rashid. Nazim Rashid, and you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. 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 My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. Oh, yeah, my own show. Yeah, my show on Saturdays called The Reconnected Show. I'm the host there. I don't talk too much, so you hear more of the guests than me. I'm just hosting. That's called The Reconnected Show, online after the three W's we have, like this station, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, okay? blogtalkradio.com/reconnected, all right? So I'm on every Saturday at 1 o'clock, the time changed now, so it's 1 o'clock now, Eastern Standard Time, okay? 11 o'clock Arizona time, being 10 o'clock California time. And so I have guests on every week with various personal growth topics that reflect the messages in my book, Reconnected. And you're going to call, since a lot of you like to call anyway and listen on your phone, you probably have on a speakerphone with you, you know, and so you can just put it down and listen while you're doing something else, right? Okay. It's 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Call the number at 1 o'clock if you're Eastern Standard Time. Just call the number up, put it on speakerphone, and mute it out, and just put it on your desk and hear the program, okay? We have a good live guests every week, some are rebroadcast, but very good messages. They help build us and become more human, you know, and the more human, a healthy human you become, then, of course, you're perfect candidate for a marriage mate. Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, don't get married until you really clean yourself up. That's very important to understand that, you see. You don't do it, you know. Do it right, just don't do it. It's better to stay single for a while. If you can't do these things I'm talking about, just stay single. Just stay single. Don't let the influence of the church or the master or whatever you're going to, don't let it influence you to jump into a situation that you're not ready for. Don't do it. Don't do it. And again, don't think there's a lack of God. There's no lack. God has somebody special for you so you can have a wonderful marriage. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to a Child Self. And next week we'll have part 20. Okay? So with that, I'll end the show now with the greetings I start out with. The greetings and peace the only God can give with you. Assalamu alaikum.